Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome, everyone. This is your host, Bonnie Gressel, here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Now, today I have a guest with us, and I'm excited to have her here. Marcella Dominguez is here with us, and she's going to talk with us about trademark law and protecting our rights. And I can't wait to get into our conversation, but I'm going to introduce Marcella in just a moment. But first, I always want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate all of you being here, spending time out of your busy day to share with me here on the show. You know, I think that being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do for a living. You come from that heart-centered place. You want to make a difference in the world, and you love helping others reach their dream. Now, perhaps that's you, and that's why you've decided to join us on the show today. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. I know that time is our most precious asset, so I always want to make sure that these shows are value-packed so that you feel your time is well spent. Now make sure you check out the show page before you leave. I always put the link to our guest's website on that page, as well as a free gift for you, and there are links to connect with me as well. Something that I've recently added is a donate button. So if these shows really help you on your entrepreneur journey and you want to contribute to the cause to keep these shows going, you can check out the donate button. And I so appreciate that. I thank you in advance. Perhaps you have a message to share. I always love having guests on the show. Reach out to me if you think that you would like to be on the show and share your message with people all over the world. Now allow me to introduce Marcella Dominguez to the show today. Marcella graduated with her JD in 2011 from Thomas M. Cooley School of Law, now known as Western Michigan University Cooley Law School in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then she returned to her native hometown in El Paso, Texas, and was admitted into the Texas Bar in 2013. Marcella has since expanded her geographic area of practice and currently helps clients on a nationwide basis. Her strong interest in trademark law and copyright law is driven by her belief that protecting creativity is critical to lasting success. Her personal creative pursuits, such as managing StoeyJoey.com, a company inspired by her own children, gives her a unique perspective that other creative legal counsel might lack. She can hardly call her passion for defending your rights as creatives as work. To connect with Marcella and defend your creative rights, you can contact her at her office with a toll-free number, and I put her website link on the show page below. Her promise is to defend your business as though it were her own. Join me now in welcoming Marcella to the show. Well, welcome, Marcella. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to share with us here on The Holistic Entrepreneur. I know you're a busy person, so thank you so much for making time to share with us. So, I'm so excited to have you here, and I know that I read a little bit about people in their bio, but I know there's always more to the story, right? So would you share with us a little bit more about your experiences and the journey you've had that leads you to who you've become today and the work that you do?
Hi, Bonnie. Thank you for having me. Yes, I'd be happy to do that. I started off, I'm trying to figure out where to start here, but I guess I'll start way back when. So I always knew that I wanted to be a lawyer. I actually always wanted to be a judge. And then as I went through elementary, middle, and high school, I was always labeled the student who always had to challenge the student quo. I had a teacher that said Marcella would hit herself over the head with a hammer, even if we told her not to. And I think that just spoke to my nature of always trying to figure things out when people told me no. And so I understand that children don't like to be told no, and I think that's part of just their creative learning process. So I ended up going to law school in Michigan, and I ended up graduating, passing the bar. In the process, I had three children, and so here I am today practicing trademark law, doing what I really love to do, which is helping entrepreneurs secure and protect the name that they've worked so hard for over the years. And that's what I do, and I love it.
Awesome. You know, this trademark is, it's not something that people often think of early on in their entrepreneur journey. You know, they've got a product or they've got a business or a service that they provide. And it's sort of sometimes is an afterthought. Do you find that, or do people come to you like right out of the gate? Some people are like that. They want their business plan and their business cards and their, you know, all da-da-da-da-da. But a lot of people don't do that right away.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there are some people that know this is what I have to do. This is what I should do. Or at the very least, let me find a lawyer before I know I need one. Yeah. And when I heard those exact words coming from a client, I thought, wow, she's really done her homework, which is great. But yeah, there are a huge chunk of people who maybe don't know. And so I don't blame them for not knowing, because if you don't know what you don't know, then you don't take, you know, the right measures to, you know, jump on that bandwagon, I guess. So the people that do come to me, you know, I do inform them and I say, listen, this is the reason why you need a trademark. And most of the time, the reason that's very important is because they've chosen a name that somebody else is already using, or a name that is very similar to something that somebody else is already using. And for trademark purposes, that can cause many, many challenges, obstacles, and actually even prevent entrepreneurs from registering that name.
Oh, the likelihood of confusion saga.
Dun, 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 dun. Yes, yeah. I'm wrong after that. Because the likelihood of confusion office action that I see is so, I almost want to say kind of disheartening, because I'm not so sure that the person receiving it knows how detrimental it could be to their business. I mean, can you imagine somebody has already seen a branding agency, they've had talks, roundtable discussions, or what have you, about this name and whether it's the perfect fit for their business. So after all this time and money that's been invested, then they come to me and they say, please, what does this mean? Please fix it. And I have to be the one to tell them, listen, you know, the chances here are slim. So don't hate me, you know, don't hate me for delivering that message. But it's simply the case. It's just the fact of life that likelihood of confusion office actions are very difficult and almost impossible to overcome. Not in all cases, but in most cases.
Mm. So what would your advice, say somebody is just beginning, they're just starting their business and they haven't done, they don't have maybe their branding agent or anything like that. They don't even maybe even have a website. They're just in that beginning stage, but they come to you because they find you online or whatever. What is your advice to them in terms of where to start? Because there's so many things for a new entrepreneur to do in the beginning, right? There's just like everything. It's overwhelming to people.
Yes. I've been there. And so I completely understand. And so I think that we kind of have to branch out that entrepreneur that you were just describing. Let's say her name is Sally. So Sally can either fall into one of two categories. And one is that new entrepreneur that you were talking about that maybe hasn't gone to a branding agency. She's just thinking of starting her business and she's starting with a blank slate. So to that Sally, I would recommend that at the very least, you know, she maybe do a Google search. She maybe look around to see if there are other people who are using the name that she's identified as the one that she would like to use. The second thing that I would recommend for this Sally is for her to stay, for her to remain flexible, to have a flexible mindset going into the process, that the name that she has chosen might not be the one that she's going to end up with. Because of everything that I just explained, such as the likelihood of confusion, or, you know, there are what we call common law trademark rights, which means that even if somebody else is using the name but hasn't registered it, they have the right to tell you, hey, I was using it first, you can't use it. So that's the second. And the third is definitely to maybe come up with like three or four names, you know, that you really, really like. That way, if one doesn't work out, maybe you don't feel like you're settling for something else, but rather it's something that you still chose before you had a rejection. Because I think it does something psychologically to entrepreneurs to feel like I chose one name. Oh boy, now I can't use it. Oh man, now I have to settle for something else. But I think that when you choose like your top three or your top four, and then you say, oh, well, I can't use one of those, it doesn't necessarily feel like you're settling for something else. It just feels like, okay, now I'll go with my next option, which I really liked anyway for these reasons.
Yeah. Oh, that's great advice, because, you know, it's, if you can catch people right early enough in those early stages, it's so much easier and you can make their journey so much less stressful.
So, yeah. And so that's the one kind of Sally that I was talking about. But let's say there's a Sally who maybe has already began the process a little bit, and maybe she's already gone to see a branding agency and a branding agency has helped her with her name. So that differs vastly from the first type of Sally that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So in the instance of somebody who's already gone to see a branding agency or has maybe talked to somebody about it, I think that the biggest mistake actually that branding agencies make is that they don't at the very least throw the word trademark or throw the words trademark lawyer out there.
Yeah.
Because I think that just like you said, entrepreneurs don't run to trademark lawyers' offices as quickly as they might run to a branding agency. And so when you run to that branding agency, I almost feel like though the branding agency doesn't have a responsibility or a duty to tell you anything about trademark law, I feel like if they are truly a branding agency, a comprehensive one, one that is truly vested in the value of your business and is truly vested in a client relationship, then I think at the very least, they should be telling you, hey, let's talk to a trademark attorney about doing a trademark search or finding out if this name and logo are okay for you to use. Because I think there are too many people out there that say, oh, I can design for you, I can help you brainstorm all day long. But the reality is somebody who's truly vested in the relationship and creating something lifelong with you will definitely throw that out there. So to all the branding agencies who are not at the very least doing that for their clients, then I think you need to rethink why you are a branding agency and whether you truly are vested in a long-term client relationship.
Oh, that is such a good point. You know, it makes me think of, and I'm using the analogy of a medical community because my background is as a nurse practitioner, and there's like the sort of the family doc or the internist, whoever their main doctor is. But then there's all these specialists who do other types of medicine, right? Nobody ever talks to anybody else. And it's so hard because the family doc and the internal medicine doc of today isn't as much the gatekeeper as they used to be years ago. And so I used to see this happen all the time as a nurse practitioner. People would just come in all confused and on things that don't match. And it's because nobody talks to anybody else. So if everybody could just work together, that would be, so I really appreciate your advice to anybody who is either working with a branding agency or has one. I think that's great advice. Thank you.
Oh, no, I completely agree with you. And I actually think you drew a very similar parallel or analogy to that, because that's precisely right. This has to be a holistic approach for the entrepreneur.
Yeah. Because really, I mean, whether it's a clients, you know, who's building a business or a patient, that's who you're really working for.
Yes. Yes. And I think that, maybe one of the reasons that I'm inspired so much to really trigger a pain point in branding agencies is that, you know, I once found myself on the patient side of things also, you know, seeing doctor after doctor, trying to look for an answer and trying to figure out why I was feeling a certain way. And not getting an answer was very, very painful. It was a very painful process. And so I think that when you know that something is off, then you're able to keep looking for an answer until somebody's able to find a solution. But in the case of entrepreneurs, when you can't look for something if you don't feel like there's something off. And I think that it's hard to feel like, hey, I should think about a trademark, when you don't even know that it's a problem. So that's it. Branding agencies need to point out that it could be a problem so that the entrepreneur looks for the solution.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just for, you know, to get everyone on the same page, the the reason that you need a trademark, that that's a critical piece of your business, is, you know, to protect, you know, all your stuff, right? All of the intellectual property you have, your name, all of that sort of thing. So can you talk a little bit more about that, just so that people are all on the same page about why is this so critical and so critical to do early on?
Yeah. So, you know, I always kind of start with the example of like Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Burger King, Tesla, any major brand you can think of, whether it's clothing, automotive, technology, medical, anything. What do all those have in common? They all have a registered trademark. And, you know, although a small entrepreneur, you know, a small business slash just an entrepreneur just starting off doesn't necessarily want to compare him or herself to such a big corporation, it doesn't mean that you don't have the same needs. So, you know, the reason they have sought their registered trademark is because they're interested in protecting business assets, which any small business, medium-sized business, or large-sized business will want to do. They all have that same end goal. And so I think that that's not something that small entrepreneurs think about, because they think, I'm too small, I'm just starting, you know, that's not applicable to me. But the reality is that it is applicable to you. If you're serious about starting your business, if you've already tested the waters and you know that your product and your service is viable, you have a demand for it, you know, then I think at that point you can start to really think about trademark issues. And at that point is when you should really invest resources into protecting the name that you are going to use from that point forward.
Now, two questions come to mind that I'd like to make sure that we touch on here. One is the fees, which we're going to get to in a bit, and how much this costs to trademark your name. But the other thing is, what happens to someone who has been using a name and they've got it all over, but somebody else actually has trademarked that name? What could happen to them?
Okay, so I'll cover the first question. What are the fees? So the fees depend on how many classes you are planning on registering your mark or logo in. So I'll give you an example. Say, I'll give you a better example. A clothing designer. Let's say a clothing designer creates shirts, hats, and sweatshirts or something like that. They are going to have to decide, do I want to register my fashion brand in sweatshirts or in shirts or in hats? Or do I want to do all three? Because the first thing that comes to your mind is, I'm just going to register in clothing. But the reality is that, and this is where a trademark attorney can help you, you know, there is no such category as just clothing, so that you can dump everything that you make into that category. It doesn't work that way. You have to be pretty specific and pretty selective. So let's say you decide to go with sweatshirts or dresses and hats. That's actually two different categories. So for each category that you choose, you're looking at 275. For every additional category after one, you're looking at $275. So your initial application, I believe, is like $275, because it's a little bit cheaper for attorneys who register for you. And so there's Tees Plus, and then there's Tees Regular. So if you choose the $275 option, that includes one class. So you can choose your dresses. Then if you're going to make hats too, then you have to pay an extra $275. So the price always depends on how many classes you're going to register in, but at the very least, it's going to cost you around $275.
Because some people, you know, and I've seen this, you can register online or you can use someone like yourself, which makes it way easier to help you through that process, but people could do it either way.
Yeah. So if you do it on your own, then yes, it would cost you $275. You know, I actually offer different packages for entrepreneurs that are on different parts of the scale. So if you feel like you want to be more involved in the process, then I offer a package for you. But if you want to be less involved in the process because you just want to handle business matters, then I offer a package for you too.
Okay, awesome.
So that leads me to your second question, which was...
What if somebody else, you're doing your business, you're using the name, but somebody else has the same name and they're not happy?
Yes. So, well, you know, that kind of goes back to what I was talking about early in this conversation. And that's that, you know, if you did your due diligence through an attorney or by yourself, which I don't always recommend, you will find out that there are other people. So there, you can take preventive measures to avoid that situation. So in this case, it would be through an attorney doing a trademark search report. And the reason that search report is important is because it's comprehensive, meaning that it includes the name of businesses who have not registered their name, but who are currently using it. Whereas if you just do a Google search or a USPTO search, you're only going to find names of businesses who have already registered the name or are who have submitted an application.
So I would imagine, if there's a clash of, you know, someone has a name registered, let's say, and someone else is using that same name and they're not registered, can they make that second party stop using it?
Yes, they can, because they have what we call common law trademark rights. So common law trademark rights arise when you begin using a name. So let's say I create a candy shop called, Tutti Frutti. And so if I sell here in El Paso, Texas, where I'm located, then I have common law trademark rights in my Tutti Frutti candy store. And then if somebody comes along in a couple of months and tries to register Tutti Frutti, I have the right to tell them that they will not be using the name Tutti Frutti here in El Paso, Texas, where I have been selling.
Okay.
Yes.
So the common law is location specific.
Yes. Yes.
Where the trademark, you know, going through the process and paying the fee to the government and all that is as big as you want it to be. Because I think people can also do a trademark in more than the U.S. if they want.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, by registering your trademark, you're not relying on common law rights anymore. You're relying on, you know, that national registration, which confers national protection. But it doesn't, in my Tutti Frutti example, let's say Tutti Frutti actually gets a registration certificate. They still, I could still tell them I've been here first. If it's true that I was here first and I did use my mark in commerce, meaning I had been selling in El Paso, Texas, and I can prove it, then I would have the ability to tell the other Tutti Frutti, hey, you can't sell in El Paso. And so that can be a problem, because if I want to grow, that basically means I cannot start selling outside of El Paso, Texas. And it's a problem for them, because if they want to sell nationwide and they sell through the internet or through, you know, through an e-commerce platform, they're not going to be able to sell to consumers here in El Paso, Texas. And so it's a predicament for both parties, not just one.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I always advise that people are absolutely clear from the get-go about where they stand in terms of name use and selection.
Good point. Now, what if, say, someone registers a name, whatever name, say it's Tutti Frutti, and they're going to make, you know, lollipops and taffy, and they list like five other things that they never end up making. Does that ever go away, or I think you have to renew a trademark every so often.
Right? Yes. So you mean, like, let's say that they've also decided to sell shirts, lollipops, and
other categories that they registered, but they're not doing anything with it, and it's been several years or whatever.
Yeah. So when you file the application, you're actually required to give the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office a specimen, which means that you're showing them how you're using the mark in commerce. Mm. So if you're not even able to show how you're using the mark in commerce, then you're not even going to get a registration in that category.
Okay.
But there are times, and I have seen, there are times when people, and I've seen it when people try to do like two categories. So like, I had an example with somebody who registered camera equipment and then also advertising services. And so when I popped over to their website, it was only camera equipment. And so I thought, well, this isn't right, because now, you know, a client is being precluded from registering their name in advertising services, and this other company doesn't even do advertising. They just sell camera equipment. And so, yeah, it poses a problem, and it, at that point, you do have a couple of options, but you know, unfortunately, I wish the process was more straightforward in being able to call the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and say, look, just look at their website. They're not offering this. Take it down. Take it down. But it doesn't work like that. It gets more complicated after that. But I don't advise anybody to do that, because it's also a misrepresentation to the U.S. Trademark Office as to how you're using your mark. And if somebody really wants to, and somebody who really has deep pockets, can get you in trouble for that.
Yeah. It's such a complicated issue to me, because, well, I'm not an attorney. That's why people need people like you. You know, we've talked about so many things, and we could go on, I think, with trademark stuff, because it is so complex. But if there's only one thing, and maybe it's something we've already talked about, or maybe it's something we haven't talked about yet, but if there's one thing that you want our listeners to walk away with today from our conversation, what is that one really important thing that you want them to leave with?
This message is probably, yeah, for entrepreneurs. I mean, I love talking to entrepreneurs who are extremely passionate about their business motives. And so, you know, when I see that, I can't help but think that I've connected with the right client. And so my advice is just follow your instinct, follow your gut, follow your passion, because that will take you to higher places than anything that's imposed on you.
Oh, I love that. And two, you know, we were talking just a bit before about being proactive, right? And making some of those decisions, or at least getting the information up front. For those listeners who are out there who are thinking about embarking on a business, I would imagine that, you know, start with looking at that as well as just your, you know, your trade, your brand or your whatever, put trademark in that as well. But for those people who have been out there in the common law world, so to speak, you know, using their name and not really getting the trademark, I'm just curious, what would you say to them?
Yeah, you can definitely use the TM as a placeholder to kind of put the world on notice that you are using that mark. But do not use the circle R if you haven't registered it, because I think there's a lot of confusion around TM and circle R. And so for those of you that would love some clarity, the circle R is actually for registered trademark holders. So if you have not received a certificate, do not use the circle R, just use the TM.
Yeah. And my experience has been that a lot of people just seeing the TM will kind of keep people away, and they'll think, oh, it's trademarked, because they don't realize that it's just like thinking about it in the process of, not that they're actually trademarked.
Yeah, that's true. It is. It is enough to kind of just deter some people. But the circle R will definitely deter people. So,
and could get you in trouble if it's not used appropriately.
But if it's not used appropriately, then yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. So, you know, I know that people are going to want more of you, Marcella, you know, to be able to find out more about your services, because I think we got a lot of people thinking about trademark now that maybe weren't thinking about trademark before. So what's the best way for them to reach out to you? And I'll put your website on the show page so that they can just click on it and poof, magically they're there. But tell us how we can get more of Marcella Dominguez.
Yes, so I'm actually on Instagram and Facebook. If you look for Arts Music Lawyer, all as one word. And then my site is Marcella with two L's, TM.com. So I'm kind of everywhere if you just search for me. And I have a new podcast actually called The AM Show. So if you just search for Marcella Dominguez, you'll find me.
Yes. And I can vouch for that, because that's what I did before, is I searched your name and you're all over the place. And I did listen to a couple of your new shows. So good job on that.
Great. Thank you so much, Bonnie. I appreciate that coming from someone who's more experienced in that area.
Well, I am so grateful that you took time because I know that you are a busy person. So thank you so much for taking time today to share your wisdom with all of us here at the Holistic Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much for having me, Bonnie. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.